Hello, and thanks for tuning into episode 4 of Between the Swings podcast. This is Alex, today's episode host. Unfortunately, Kyle called in sick this day, so he couldn't come and be a part of episode 4. We were honored to have Chad Dietz, creator of the Forward Golf Fitting Process, who we interviewed today. So without further ado, tune in as we talk about the forward fitting process and how he is impacting the game of golf. Guys, thanks for being here. Chad Dietz, creator of the forward fitting process. And we also have Steph here, who is on staff here at Superstition. And he's also a certified forward fitter. Thanks for being here. We wanted to chat a little bit about this phenomenon that is forward golf. Chad, first off, who the heck are you, man? Where'd you come from? Why are you passionate about golf?
You know, I don't exactly know. But I will say that I'm pretty obsessed with the game. I think it's a personality trait that I have. Anything that I find interest in or am intrigued by, I typically want to be good at it.
Yeah.
I typically want to be the best at it. And when it comes to golf being such a hard and elusive game, and because it's so hard, you know, I think golfers can get taken advantage of in a sense that the game is so difficult that we can package and market certain products, say, hey, this is going to save your game. Mm-hmm. And in the reality, it won't. Hmm. So what I always try to tell people is all I'm trying to do is figure out where good golf lives. It lives somewhere, but not many people have found it or are taking the wrong way, in my opinion, to get there.
Yeah. Wrong approach for sure.
And where I think it really starts to stem from is not being educated enough in the equipment that we're swinging and starting to really try to fix our golf swing first is a flaw that I see in this. Most golfers say, well, it's the Indian, not the arrow. And I say, well, give me 45 minutes and I'll prove to you the exact opposite.
Totally. Yeah.
Total opposite.
I think the arrow influences the Indian.
It does. I mean, we can prove it. The club that we give you influences your golf swing in either positive or negative way. And as I've owned my own fitting facility, obviously the main goal is to stay in business. Not the easiest thing to do. And, you know, I just seen over the last 8 years that I'd never felt like I was supplied with the best tools possible to be the best fitter ever. Hmm. The tools that the industry gave me and said, this is what you get. Write prescriptions off of this. And you're like, well, this doesn't coincide with that. You tell me to do it like that, but he tells me to do it like this. Well, how do I figure this out if these different companies are kind of giving me different metrics on how to do it? Mm-hmm. So I said, man, it just doesn't sound like anyone's really on the same page. I mean, there's no standard in golf. Standard driver lengths are different across the board. Standard flexes are different across the board. No one's got the same lie angle from company to company.
That's like, right.
What's up with all this riffraff? I mean, this just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So when you are unsatisfied, but yet you have to make a living doing it, you have to make a decision. Like, do I just do what most other people do and pretend that all this is real? Relay that to the customer, make some money, but really not help them when you like look at, are you getting better?
Yeah.
Or are you just staying the same and you gave me a bunch of money? I don't want to get down like that. Like, yeah. If I was trying to get rich, I wouldn't be trying to sell golf clubs. I promise you that.
Well, dude, and I think that's what makes me and us here on this little podcast Between the Swings, because we want to grow the game. Mm-hmm. And you're not on this endeavor to become rich. If you did, it sounds like you chose the wrong endeavor. Yeah, like, right. There's a genuine passion inside of you that says, I want to grow the game.
Absolutely. I just want everyone to have the opportunity to play to their full potential. If you don't know what your golf ball is going to do before you hit it, it's almost hard to argue that you're actually playing the game of what the game actually is. Like,
that's right.
It's more of a checker rather than chess.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can't play chess until you know what the pieces do, till you can strategize that's against your opponent. Yeah. So when we start to play golf more like chess, is where I think the beautiful part of the game is, right? Hogan talked about it being a strategical game. Well, there's no strategy if you can't control your ball. So just chasing the white ball around and having fun with your friends, that might get you started.
Yeah.
But if you have a personality like me who wants to beat their friends or just get a personal record, like if my best score is 75, I just want a 74.
Totally.
I mean, that drive home.
Yep.
Is there a better drive home than shooting the best score you've ever shot in your life?
Yeah.
And again, I want to make that more accessible to people. And I think the first step to doing that is making sure that we have a golf club with the right sole design, the right weight, the right flex, the right kick, all those things are going to set you up to maybe where you can experience that.
Yeah. And so it really is unique. I like the word. I did a fitting with Steph, and it's really a unique term used, prescription, because like my glasses, my eyes are different than anybody else's. So I need a unique, my swing is unique than it, compared to anybody else's. And I felt so valued out there when I was getting fit, because I've done fittings at PGA Superstores, and like, they're really just trying to sell you a club. Damn. They really don't care how good of a golfer I am at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I got this sense through my fitting, like, no, we want you to walk away like you're going to be shooting that 74 when you've been shooting 75.
Or at least give you the correct tools to be able to have a pathway to go there.
Totally. Right? Yeah. So Chad, you started this journey of helping people become better golfers, but then you also designed a club to go alongside of that. How in the world did that start? Because you have a fitting process, but you decided to start also producing a pretty freaking awesome looking club,
I appreciate that. Well, yeah. So, again, this project started about as organic as you possibly could, with me sitting in my front porch, trying to make sense of some of the great fittings that I had had in the past and some of the not so great fittings, basically asking myself, why was that fitting so great with player X, but then yet I didn't get that same performance out of player B? Like, these are the things that I go home and wonder. When you guys leave my fitting bay, I do not stop thinking about how it could have been better, what could I have done, or like, why was it so amazing?
Yeah.
So the problem that I had is I didn't have the answer to that question. When I did a great fitting with player X, I don't know how I got there. We tried a bunch of stuff. At the end, it clearly was working. But if you said, how'd you get there? Tell me how it happened. I didn't know. And you go, well, why don't you know? Well, this company only offers these profiles. These company offers these profiles. I can't intertwine them and mix them and match them. I'm never comparing apples to apples. So I'd have to lie deep down to tell you that it, but it's not.
It's not.
So that was a big issue for me. So I then sat and thought, like, okay, what are all the possibilities? Customers come in, intricate customers, people golf their whole life. Oh, my swing weight's off by a half a degree, or I need to do this. And then there's other guys who don't, like, really? I didn't even know the top line thickness changed from club to club.
There's a spectrum, right?
Yeah. So what I want to do is, I said, I need to have an answer for everybody. Some guys come into my shop going, oh, I think I need to cut my club down a half inch because I hit a couple shots fat. And you're like, well, what if I gave you a club that was an inch and a half short and you still hit it fat?
Yeah.
Is it a club length issue?
Is it a sole design issue?
Let's figure this out, right?
Yeah.
So I basically sat there and thought, like, okay, what could I think of their swing weight, their total weight, this kick point in the shaft? And I listed eight things. There was eight things that I was like, these are the variables that go into a golf club. I don't know which ones are helping players the most. I don't know which ones are hurting them the most. But I know that if you go on YouTube, someone will sit there for 30 minutes and talk about this variable.
Totally.
I know that. And my customers may or may not have already gone on YouTube and watched that video.
Yeah.
So when my customer comes in and says, I have questions about swing weight, I have two choices to make. I can sit there with no tools and theorize with him. Or I can say, before we talk, here's a swing weight test. Let me watch you hit 12 shots and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Two different ways of going about it.
Yeah.
Give me the data.
And show me how you swing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we could talk about how, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes a 5 handicapper looks like he's a 15. Sometimes the guy tells you he's a terrible golfer. And you look at me like, dude, what are you, 2? Right. It's a lot of times it's opposite. So I would rather watch you hit, get some data, and then say, hey, let's open up this conversation for dialogue, because there's probably answers that are going to be done because of that test that if we didn't do it, we'd be theorizing about a wrong thing. Like, oh, I tend to like heavy. And in the test, I'm like, well, actually, you did worse with the heavy. So,
and right down the rabbit hole, you keep digging, right?
You just turn in, I call it the, it's like a death spin. You just, you're, everyone's trying to get better at golf. We all have pure intentions of getting there. But like, Tiger chose to change his swing at the pinnacle of his career. We got Victor Hovland kind of dabbling with this idea. Everyone's trying to get to the next level, but that doesn't mean that we could take a wrong turn and potentially get a little worse.
Yeah.
And that's what's I'm trying to help people avoid, really. It's almost like, hey, that's a wrong turn and a dead end. Like, if you knew it was a dead end, like, wouldn't you want to tell people? Now, half the people are going to walk past you and go, yeah, well, I want to see that dead end for myself.
Yeah.
Hey.
Power to you.
Yeah, dude, go for it. Dude, I was that guy too. But I think in society, for us to really grow, is you need to pick and choose. Say, hey, I think this guy really knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Instead of walking to that dead end, I'm going to turn around right here and speed up 5 years of my life. It's like, dude, 5 years is a dead end. I promise, dude. You want to know how I know? I went there.
Yeah. And I mean, virtually you're saying we see your swing. We see the clubs you're hitting. You keep doing what you're doing. You're not going to get to that scratch. You're not going to get to that, you know, maybe it's from 90 to 80, whatever it can be for that golfer. Absolutely. And you're seeing that as people are in your bay or of getting fit, or you see their swing and there's in based on the forward process, you're hitting the wrong clubs, bro. Right.
Yeah. Well, so I look at it like this, and this is what people don't necessarily realize so much. It's like, if I sit back and wait for you to hit a shot that is solid, you hit it solid, I believe that that ball should be going somewhere near the target. Now, could you hit one solid with a really bad swing or face and hit it way to the left? Of course you could. But that shot should go close to target more times than not. Mm-hmm. What I'll notice is I'll see a guy go, dang, he hit that really solid, but he pulls it way to the left. Okay, I won't worry about it the first one, but if he does it again, I'm thinking to myself, well, what would black number three club do, which is super flat? Like, here, hit this.
Yeah.
Knowing that it can't do that. Mm-hmm. And the goal is everyone's trying to run away from their golf swing. Everyone's like, I need a better golf swing. And I'm saying, maybe you do. Maybe you do. But you should identify that club first.
Yeah.
There's a holistic approach to getting better. And there is a go under the knife and get a knee replacement style of getting better. Changing your golf swings like going under the knife. Yep. Changing the specs of your golf club is like, I don't know, putting apple butter in your coffee or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's sure. More of a simple thing to do that you could potentially get health benefits from without going crazy.
Yeah. I that's why I'm so attracted to this thing. Cause I was telling Steph, I'm 33 years old. I'm not an endeavor to go out and change my swing drastically. Of course, everyone's going to work on a little, getting their club face to come, whatever. But I'm not, at my age, I'm not going to change my golf swing drastically. I don't have time to. I'd rather find a club that says, here's my swing. Mm-hmm. Find a club that matches me, you know, so I can still feel comfortable and shoot low scores.
Chad and I talked about that yesterday on the range of, he was telling me, man, I've had the same issue since high school. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I tell my students that all the time of like, look, I've been doing the same four or five drills since I've been 11 years old.
Yeah.
Your golf swing has a DNA built into it, just like everybody is unique to themselves. Right.
Yep.
So trying to change your golf swing so drastically is like trying to change your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'd much rather change the golf club that's in your hand to fit your DNA.
Right.
Right? Like, there's no better way to get better at this game than having the correct tools in your hand.
Right.
100%.
Steph, you know, he created this process, created a training process. Now you are kind of boots on the ground doing this on a regular basis out here. What have you learned? What have you seen? You know, what made you say, I want to, you know, besides a relationship with Chad, what makes you say, like, I believe in this process?
There's so many avenues of why I believe in this process, but I think really what it comes down to is that, I've been good friends with Chad for a long time, but he looked at this from an outside perspective and went, what is the golf industry not doing for the players? Right. So isolating these variables was the most genius thing that I've seen in a very long time in the golf industry of like, look, you get to test them yourselves. And what really stands out to me is that the player, the minute they pick up that club of, whoa, that thing is super light, they see the difference. They understand and they learn throughout the entire process of like, this is why that did that. This is why A did B, right? Like, there's so many things that I go through in this process with a student and they walk away and go, man, I learned a shit ton.
Yeah.
Right. Like there was so much that I learned there. And that's the avenue to get better at this game. Where does good golf live? Right. He says that all the time. Where does good golf live? And it lives within not changing your DNA, changing what truly the tool in your hand that works for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at the Scotty, look at Scotty Scheffler's stats from tee to green. Then you look at his golf swing.
Dude, okay. My God. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, when you compare it to Adam Scott's, you would think Adam Scott would win every time because he's got the balance and he's got a good tempo and all these things. Scotty Scheffler, I mean, looks like Seve Ballesteros just flying out of his shoes. So you say, how could he be better than an Adam Scott who, to the naked eye, maybe has less moving parts and all these things that make sense? First thing is most things in golf that make sense don't pan out, right? Guy slices the ball, starts aiming more left, slices it more. It's just golf is kind of like opposite day. At all times, I believe good golf lives in the person who can repeat their action in the smallest standard deviation, the same with a club that matches that is probably going to be really, really hard to beat. Scotty's ability to repeat that motion is clearly better than everybody else's ability to repeat theirs. And I believe because he's probably swung like that for a very long time. He had a very good coach who says, yeah, we're not going to mess with that. I know it doesn't seem like what we've been taught or what you should be doing, but you're beating everybody else. When you stop beating everybody else, maybe we'll address this issue.
Then we'll have a conversation.
But we won't address it until we need to.
Yeah.
And here we have this thing where the guy, you could put a gun to the guy's head and he's going to hit that shot because he doesn't know how to do it any other way. It's kind of like the master or the jack of all trades or the masters of none type of thing is kind of what I believe a lot of people fall into is, yeah, today I was working on this in my swing and then I'm going to add a little bit of this eventually. It's like, bro, you're never going to get there because, yes, technically, if you could do all the things you said, you would. But I haven't seen it play out in reality very long. We're hoping that if we change our swing in 3 years, I will be better. We're hoping. There's no guarantee in that, and that's the scary part. And I've watched a lot of good players with a lot of talent take that road, and you look at them 5 years later and go, if you would have known you'd be here, would you done it? He said, hell no. I'm literally just as good, maybe.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll strengthen something that was weak, but then the thing that you were strong at, you got weaker at.
Yeah.
If I spend too much time trying to flip my wedges, I start flaring my driver to the right, and my strongest part of my game has now become mediocre. And it's not like I went from a terrible wedge player to a great wedge player. It's just mediocre. Yep. So now I'm just mediocre.
Yeah.
It's
putting doubt in your head.
It's just a weird, gnarly, intricate game that you could see why it's hard to find where good golf lives. There's freaking booby traps.
Yeah.
And all this stuff along the whole way there.
Yeah. And yet all of us have dedicated our lives to this fickle sport.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And we talk about getting rich, you know, like I don't do any of this to get rich, but I truly do believe if you can figure out where good golf lives and guarantee your clients results before they even sign up, you would.
Yeah.
And I actually think that there's a ways to get there. So
the
golf journey begins with falling in love with the game. Once you have fallen in love with the game, getting a set of golf clubs to match your DNA is what we believe. Yep. And then we need to coach you and show you how to use those tools for the rest of the way so you can meet your Mount Everest, right? We all have our own Mount Everest, and we're trying to get everyone to tap into that.
Yeah. So my last question for the both you guys, Forward Golf, when did you start and where are you going? How can the community support you guys? How can we come alongside and say, I'll obviously get fit, but follow you on Instagram, these types of things. But where do you see Forward Golf in 5 years?
That's a great question. Well, I want Forward Golf to be accessible to everybody. And obviously keeping a studio in Southern California and expect everyone to fly out to see us is not probably very feasible. Because this process is such a brick and mortar, can't really screw it up type of process, my goal right now is to, one, figure out how to make it completely self-automated. Almost like a coin laundromat type of thing, where I would want to get a small building similar to what we're in right now, where there's a code on the door that we will send to the client. They would walk into this room and go through the process with no human being. We just need the data. We just need the strike locations. We need to control the mat that you're hitting on, the launch monitor and how it's played. It becomes a variable control thing.
Sure.
Because right now we're doing remote fittings and it's great. We send the clubs to the client. They go to a place and they run through it. But some people have TrackMan. Some people have Rapsodo. Some people got Unikers. Some people are hitting off mats that are this fluffy. Some are guys hitting off tight lies. And you start looking at this data, you're going, oh my God, this is way beyond controlling the variables of the golf club. I got to control the mat. I got to control. Because you're writing prescriptions and you didn't see the guy. I mean, I will not do this if it's wrong.
Totally.
I'll pump the brakes and say, we ain't doing it. So I need to feel very secure that the prescriptions are tried and true. And I'm thinking to myself going, well, I need to control every aspect of this. So it's become gnarly or not. Like right now I'm working on shafts so that this is actually built out perfectly. Like right now I'm limited to what I'm using, what the industry can provide.
Yeah.
So I picture a self-automated unit. I picture a guy like Stefan say, yeah, I want six of them. And he would own six Forward stations all around the country. And he could make some sort of passive income on them. Kind of like a vending machine.
Yeah.
A really intricate...
Send that data to me. I go over that data. Yeah. Chad and I talk about it. And then we're like, all right, here's your prescription. Ship it out.
Yeah.
And yep. We can then at that point, for my personal, right, I'd love to have them come out and let's figure out how to use these clubs, right? Mm-hmm. We found the prescription. Now we can build you that pathway to make it better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the coaching program that we're trying to roll out is very interesting. Again, I think letting the golfer have it their way is not where good golf lives. Identifying where a person's weak in their game and saying, this is what we're going to work on because this is what will make you the best, the fastest. So one of the things that I've noticed is if I let people do what they want, I will do nothing but driver fittings and driver lessons. It is what it is.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the time I will take a person to a putting green and say, well, if you can read these two putts correctly, just tell me how much they break. We'll go do a driver lesson. And we never get there. If you can't show me how much this putt breaks or have an idea, why would we go work on driver? You're going to three putt every hole, you know? So again, I'm really looking for people who say, you know, Chad, my ego resides in my scorecard. That's where my ego resides. Mm-hmm. And I can be like the man. If your ego resides in pink paint fill and all this other stuff, which I'm all about, dude, I want your clubs to look fly and all that stuff. Yeah. But I kind of like the priority to be like scorecard first, paint fill second.
Yeah.
type of thing, you know? Set. Yeah. But basically this program that I'm thinking about, well, we're going to do it. It's in its infancy stages, but it's very similar to like Cub Scouts, where we will start with a select few options of like, hey, do you want to learn to build a fire? Do you want to learn how to tie a rope? Or do you want to learn how to build a wicker basket? Like the customer is going to get to choose like, oh, I think I want to learn how to do this first. And we are going to train you through our training aids that we develop or the videos that we create on this membership site to where you have to master one thing at a time.
Yeah.
The first Pokemon you're going to catch is one Tiger Strike.
Yeah.
I love that.
You get a badge. You earn your badge. Then it's, you know, a bump and run badge, level one. And you just keep on going. I can make badges forever. I got a badge that Tiger can't get. So Tiger could be on my program. And like, there's this badge that he can't get. Because here's what I really think golf lacks. we're all good because we started when we were young. We practiced a lot. Like when you were 7 years old, you didn't know you were practicing. You were just playing.
I was just having fun.
And you played, and pretty soon you were good. Well, a lot of people through COVID, we've seen it, like a lot of 30-year-olds like got into golf that were like baseball players and basketball players. They're athletes. Yeah. They pick up golf. But they don't practice and learn the way that I did when I was seven.
Yeah.
That was innocent fun. They're like, where's the ball need to go in my stance? Is my butt sticking? It's like, whoa, dude, you're getting way too technical, way too early. You just need to hit balls. Just hit and figure it out because that's what humans do.
I like what you said. Like step one is first falling in love with the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Go fall in love with it. Dude, we got all the time in the world to make this confusing, intricate, and difficult.
Yeah.
Like, just learn how to hit. Develop some habits. We'll build you a club that support those habits so that you can just do it over and over and over. Unless, obviously, the habits are so far off.
Sure.
That Stefan's like, look, like, let's clean some stuff up before we do that. And that's kind of the way I picture it is if we can create some sort of video game or some sort of thing where you have to earn these badges. Because again, when you need to make 10 footers in a row and you make 9 in a row and you miss the last one, like who just goes home? Nobody. They're like, give me them again. So I almost feel like if I can create this program, I can trick these people into trying to achieve these badges. And actually, as a result, they're practicing way more often.
Yeah.
Like I could picture a guy be like, going to his friend like, dude, I'm sore today, man. It's like, what's up? Dude, I think I hit like 500 balls last night. He's like, you did? It's like, yeah, dude. I was trying to get the freaking 10 Tiger Strike in a row badge, dude. And I freaking got 8 like 3 times in a row. And like, yeah. And like, I just found myself like, dude, I'm just sweating bullets in my garage trying to earn this stupid badge because we're competitive with ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, you're creating better golfers that way.
Without a doubt.
Well, again, it's kind of like I'm not a video gamer, but I imagine when you're playing a video game and you're really close to beating whatever level you're on and the bad guy keeps killing you at the end, dude, like you're like determined to say, I'm not setting the controller down until I beat this level. And I feel like if we can get golfers to kind of do that, mm-hmm. you're literally tricking them into practicing and they don't even realize they're practicing. Yeah. They would have never hit 500 balls if they wouldn't been engaged with something like that. So,
yeah.
It's sad to say that you got to trick the average guy into practicing because, I don't know, I like hitting balls, but playing golf's more fun.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part is most people just keep going to the first tee. Yeah. Like, hey, you want to practice it? No, I'm going to the tee. Hey, I don't have much time to play golf. My wife, you know, so I'm going to go play when I get the opportunity. So I'm looking for ways to be like, well, practice is the glue that holds this all together. Everyone wants to focus, oh, I need new clubs. Oh, I need a bunch of lessons. It's like, well, you actually need both, but if you don't practice, nothing's going to stick.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to figure out a way to make practice more fun.
Yeah.
And I think if we can do that, that's where you're going to tap into people playing better golf.
Yeah. Well, we're keep innovating, keep moving stuff forward. We're just big fans of what you got going. So
I really appreciate it.
Really appreciate the time, dude. I can't wait to continue to see what happens with Forward. The more people that play, the more people that get fit, the more clubs that people get. It's fun to watch from a distance.
Absolutely.
So anyway, and good luck at the Grass Clippings Open.
Oh, thank
today
you.
Have a bunch
the big
of fun
day, man. Yes,
59ers.
Right.
So let me just say thank you, man. Appreciate you, and we'll see you down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and I just want to let you guys know yesterday morning I was here doing a fitting, and I've seen a couple of videos that Stefan's done. Stefan 100% is a certified Forward fitter, and I'm overly impressed with how much he's learned the system. He knows the ins and outs to it. So if you guys are in the Arizona area, or if you're just in a state nearby, that's yes, California is a little further away. Just know that if you came here to Superstition Springs and sat with Stefan and got to go through the process, rest assured your prescription is going to be tight and you're going to get dialed in for Tiger Strikes.
Well, thank you, Chad. Yes, hit him one time with the Tiger Strike, baby.
Tiger Strike.
That's right.
Let's go.